If you'll turn in 1 John chapter 1, we've just begun 1 John together on Sunday nights. And our text will be verses 5 into chapter 2, verse 1. Again, if you'll follow along in your Bible while I read from mine, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Let's pray once again. Father, I depend upon You. We depend upon Your Holy Spirit as I stand to once again preach and teach Your Word to Your people that are gathered here tonight. I pray Your blessings upon them. I pray, Lord, that You will bless them with the truth of Your Word. Bless them with a heart that desires to believe and obey Your Word. And so I pray for the aid of Your Holy Spirit as I preach tonight and as each one listens, and we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In my last message from 1 John, I shared with you four purposes of the epistle of 1 John. And I did not mention the one stated in verse 3. Look at verse 3, where he says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John says that I'm writing this letter to you, and one reason is that you might have fellowship with us, and that you might have fellowship with God. And so tonight, I'm going to preach a message about how to have fellowship with God. And when we do have fellowship with God, we will indeed have fellowship with one another. You know, Christian fellowship is one of the wonderful things about the Christian life. You can meet somebody and have had no prior contact with them, but once you find out you're both believers and once you start talking about the Lord, there's that sense of Christian fellowship that you experience together. But again, the real basis of our fellowship with one another is our fellowship with God. By nature, we do not have fellowship with God. We are estranged from God. But we are brought near by the blood of Christ, and we can have a true relationship and fellowship with God. Now, when John uses the word fellowship, he uses the Greek word koinonia, which you have probably heard. And I believe that it fits well into conveying what Christian fellowship and what our fellowship with God is really all about. You see, koinonia means to share in something that you have in common. And Christian fellowship is based on our relationship with God and this common life that we have with God. And that we walk in the light of the Lord, as we see in this text of Scripture this evening. And if we are going to have fellowship with God, we must be like God. We must have that likeness. We must have that commonality. And the main thrust that we're going to see tonight is the fact that God is light, that God is morally righteous and pure, and that if we are going to have fellowship with Him, we too must walk in the light in terms of our righteous living that we should engage in each and every day. And so let's look into this text and see how to have fellowship with God. And there are several principles I want to bring out to you. And the first is this: to have fellowship with God, to truly have this commonness with God, you must know the character of God. How can we have fellowship with God if we don't know what He's like? And so John tells us in this text of Scripture what He is like. Now, look at verse 5 where he states it positively and he states it negatively. He says in verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light." There is the positive statement that God is light. Now, light does not have the definite article. He isn't saying He is the light in some particular sense of the word. But without the definite article, it refers to His character. That His nature, His character, is that of light. You know, there's a couple of other statements that are very similar in wording. For example, Jesus says, God is spirit. His nature is that of spirit. Later in 1 John, He says, God is love. His nature is that of love. Well, here we see that God is light. Now, what does it mean when John says that God is light? Well, I believe, first of all, it means that God is light morally. Light is a figure of speech for the holiness of God. You know, when Isaiah had that vision of God upon the throne, the angels were proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And that is one of the most fundamental aspects of the character of God, is that He is holy. He is absolutely pure and righteous. And in the context, He talks about that contrasting with darkness, which is spoken of as a symbol of sin. And so it is very clear to me when it says that God is light, that we must understand that God is absolutely holy, He's absolutely righteous, He is absolutely pure. And if we're going to have fellowship with Him, then we must become more like Him. God is light also means that He is light intellectually. Light is also a symbol for knowledge and truth and understanding and the revelation of God's truth. God is the author of all true knowledge and all that is true. He is light in that sense. But you know, God is also light essentially. You know, whenever we read about God manifesting Himself in the Bible, typically He is manifested in glory, in blazing white light of glory. And that, of course, conveys that God is indeed light. He is glory. Virginia sang that song about heaven. And there was a line in there referencing Revelation 22, verse 5, where it says that there's no darkness in heaven, but God is the light, and the Lamb is the light of that place. Heaven is a place of light because God is light. But what did Jesus say about hell? It's a place of outer darkness, absolute absence of God. So John says that God is light. And if we're going to have fellowship with Him, we need to understand that about His nature. And we must become more like Him in those respects that we talked about. But he also stated it negatively, where he says, "And in Him is no darkness at all." No darkness at all. He is absolute light and no darkness at all. Those words, "at all," are an attempt to translate the Greek double negative. It's as if John was saying literally, there is not no darkness in God. Now, that's bad English, but good Greek and good theology. There is no darkness whatsoever in God. You know, the sun, I am told, has sun spots, but God has no spot of darkness at all. He is absolute light. He is absolutely pure. But this was really in contrast with the Gnostic belief. John was beginning to battle the Gnostic beliefs that was already developing at this time, and it infiltrated the church. And according to the Gnostic beliefs, that God had emanations where further down the emanation from God, there was darkness. John says, no, God is absolute light. There is no darkness whatsoever in Him. Many have seen the Star Wars movies, and one feature of the Star Wars movies is the Force. You know, the Force. And the Force has the dark side, and the Force also has the good side. And this one universal power has both light and darkness. And that is a belief in a lot of mysticism and other religions, but our Christian faith teaches us that God is absolute light. There is no darkness with Him whatsoever. And so John says God is light. And then he immediately applies this practically. That since God is light, then we, His people, should be like Him. We should be light. We should not be walking in darkness. We should not be living in sin, but we should be light like God. And we must understand that. And so if we're going to have fellowship with God, we need to understand the character and the nature of God. But secondly, you know, if you're going to have fellowship with God, it takes more than just confessing that you have fellowship with God. Notice in this text how three different times he quotes certain individuals saying and confessing certain things. Verse 6, if we say. Verse 8, if we say. Verse 10, if we say. Three different professions of people claiming to have a relationship and fellowship with God, but what they were confessing showed that their confession was void of any reality in having a relationship and fellowship with God. You know, there's too often a difference between profession and practice. There are those who are long on lip but short on life. They quote the Bible by the yard, but live it by the inch. You know, it's one thing to confess, but it's another thing to have a life that backs up our confession. And we should have a life that backs up our confession. If we're going to confess that we have fellowship with God, then we've got to have the kind of life that's consistent with that fellowship. And that's the point that John is making. Now, notice with me in verse 6, beginning there, that to walk in darkness is a denial of a true fellowship with God. In verse 6, John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. To walk in darkness is incompatible for the believer. Whether that means to walk in error instead of the truth or to walk in sin instead of righteousness, either way is incompatible with a true believer. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. But here again, the Gnostics, they were saying and teaching people that, you know, it really doesn't matter what you do in your body. It doesn't matter what you do in the flesh. What really matters is gaining knowledge and your spirit. And they created this dichotomy between the spirit and the flesh. And as a result, they were living in immorality and living perhaps in drunkenness and other sins. And they were saying, you know, it doesn't matter as long as your spirit is pure, as long as you really know the deep mysteries of God. And so John is saying that if you say you have fellowship and yet walk in darkness, you lie and do not practice the truth. I tell you what, John was telling it straight. He's saying, you're lying. you're not practicing the truth. And there's no way you can live in darkness and be in fellowship with God. I've noticed on Facebook a quote by Ravi Zacharias, who said, Jesus Christ did not come to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. And I understand what he's saying. I understand that in order even to become good, you first have to be made alive in Christ. At least I think that's what he's saying. But I don't like this dichotomy between, one truth. And I see a lot of this that people make a contrast when really both ought to be true. That Jesus Christ came to make us alive, but he also came to make us good, to transform our lives, from walking in darkness to walking in the light. And furthermore, walking in darkness in verse 6 is a present tense, which in the Greek refers to habitual action. And so he's talking specifically about those, not who occasionally sin and yield to temptation, but those who practice sin. If you're living a life of darkness, walking in darkness, and yet you say you have fellowship with God, you lie and do not practice the truth. And so to walk in darkness is a denial of what true fellowship with God really is. And furthermore, walking in darkness leads to deception. Verse 6 again says that if you say that, you lie and do not practice the truth. Folks, it's a real problem when Christians profess one thing and live something else. It's an inconsistency. It leads people astray. And so he says this is absolutely wrong. And as you look at verses 6 to 8, if we say, notice the ascendancy of the scale of error. He says in verse 6, we lie. In verse 8, we deceive ourselves. Verse 10, it gets worse, we make God a liar. You know, it's one thing to lie to others. And I tell you what, when you get to where you are deceiving yourself, then you're in big trouble. When you don't even know the truth from error in your own mind. And then when you make God a liar who says that we have indeed sinned, then it gets even worse than that. You see, verse 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Listen, God says that we have sinned. And if you deny that, then you're saying that God is a liar. Surely you don't want to say that. You know why we have sinned? Not because, you know, we just made a mistake. Not because of other excuses. We have sinned because it's our nature to sin. You know, you could look at a dog and this dog is barking and you could say, that's a dog because it barks. Barking doesn't make it a dog because, hey, I can bark too. You know, a dog barks because it's his nature to bark. God created dogs to bark. To warn the pack, to warn the family that somebody is approaching, that there might be danger. It's their nature to bark. And because we are fallen beings, it's our nature to sin. And only Jesus can overcome the problem that we have in our lives. And so, if we want to have fellowship with God, we've got to get away from these false confessions. We've got to get real with God. And then thirdly, you must meet the condition of fellowship. Look at verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, what does it mean we have fellowship with one another? Now, I've always read that at face value, thinking, well, he's talking about we have fellowship with one another as Christians. But there are commentators that say, no, you look at the context, and he's talking about having fellowship with God here in verse 7. But be that as it may, notice, in order to have fellowship with God and with one another as believers, which is the fruit of that fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. Now, what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, I've already talked about God being light, and so it certainly relates to that. But I'm going to change the order a little bit and say this, that to walk in the light means to live in the light of the truth of God's Word. I put that first because I believe living in the light, morally, is foundationed upon our understanding of the truth. As we learn the truth, then we will live right. You know, the Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist also said, How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And so to walk in the light is to walk in the light of God's word. We must read it. We must learn it. We must find out what God is like and understand his nature and live consistently with the character of God. Another thing it means is to walk in openness before God. When you tie in verse 7 with verse 9, and I think there's definitely a connection, to walk in the light also means to walk honestly and openly with God, confessing our sins when we have sinned, not denying our sin as we see here in this context, but openly acknowledging when we have sinned against God. Because when we confess our sins, God will forgive us and cleanse us and restore that fellowship with God. So we must walk in the light. And what does it mean to confess? It means to agree with God. Yes, that was wrong. I should not have said that. I should not have done that. God, you are righteous. I was in the wrong. You confess that to the Lord. And here, to walk in the light is also a present tense. This is something that we should do each and every day of our lives. And so we must meet the condition of fellowship, which is to walk in the light, understanding all of that means. And then finally tonight, if you will meet these conditions, if you will understand that God is light and that we must walk in the light and in accordance with His character, then you can enjoy the blessings of fellowship. And there are two that I want to bring out in this text of Scripture. And the first is this, you can enjoy the cleansing of sin. It says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice that He does not talk about a past cleansing. Yes, when you were saved, you were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But once you're saved, you must continue to have cleansing. As you confess your sins unto the Lord, as your fellowship is restored unto the Lord, it must be an ongoing cleansing if we're going to maintain our fellowship with the Lord. And notice he says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness there in verse 9. Verse 7, he cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you glad that that's true? That God forgives us and cleanses us of all sin? There's no exceptions. We can be cleansed of any and all sin, as he says there. But then another blessing of walking in fellowship with the Lord, I believe, is found in verse 1 of chapter 2. Again, God is light, and he wants us to live as children of light. And so he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." I think he's talking primarily about what he's just been writing about. And so there's no question but that to walk in darkness is equivalent to walk in sin. He says, "I've written that you not do that, that you not walk in sin, that you may not sin." And so what does that tell us? You think John would write that we may not sin if it were impossible to not sin at any particular temptation that we face in life? 1 Corinthians 13 says, "There is no temptation that is overtaken you. But God is faithful, who will allow you, who will provide a way of escape as you face that temptation." Now, granted, over time, you know, none of us is going to always resist temptation. We are all still going to sin from time to time, but it is God's will that we sin not. And the power to say no to temptation, the power to overcome sin, is not in you and it's not in me. It is in the power of the Word of God. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in the power of faith as we trust in the Lord. It is God's will that we not walk in darkness, but that we walk in the light of holiness and righteousness each and every day of our lives. And so I ask you this evening, have you been living in fellowship with God? You know, he says here, now don't you say that I'm in fellowship with God and yet I've been living in sin. No, that doesn't add up. That's inconsistent. You can't walk in darkness and say you're in fellowship with God. Have you been living in fellowship with God? Well, it means trusting him to live as he would have you to live. And when you yield to sin and temptation, it is to be honest with God and to confess that you have sinned and receive cleansing once again. It is to learn God's Word, the light of God's Word. The Word of God will tell you right from wrong and will help you live the way God wants you to live. Yes, we can live in fellowship with God, but we must understand the pathway and the principles of that fellowship. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I pray that you will show us whether we are living in fellowship with you at this time in our life. Lord, if we have been walking in darkness, let us not deceive ourselves. We're not in fellowship with you. We need to confess and make things right. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to examine ourselves, to confess, to once again walk in fellowship with you. And may this first day of the week be the beginning of a new walk in fellowship with you. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, verse 229. And if you're ready to commit to trusting Christ as Savior or rededicate your life to Him, then you stand as we sing together.